Okay, I see it is 4 o'clock by the computer clock there, so we will call the meeting to order. Can we get a roll call, please?
Hovig.
Here.
Friend.
Here.
Neubauer.
Here.
Jondal.
Here.
Exhale.
Here.
Thank you.
Members, you have the agenda in front of you. Any revisions or adjustments to the agenda?
I'll move to approve the agenda.
Second.
And all those in favor of approving the agenda signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, same sign. Agenda is approved. And moving on to the minutes from our last meeting, which I believe was December of last year. Any revisions or adjustments to the minutes?
I move that we approve the minutes as written.
Second.
All those in favor of approving the minutes, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, same sign. Minutes are approved. We don't have any findings of facts from that last meeting. And public comments. Is there any public comments not related to the Hocking variance? Okay, we will move on. New business. I think we're just going to go into the hearing. So we'll take a look at variance 25-1. Please take it away.
Okay, thank you. So we received a variance request from Daryl Hocking for his property located on 630th Avenue, as there is an existing accessory structure that is encroaching on the required front setback. So this is just a kind of a location map that it's almost outside of the county, but it's not quite. So way up here, north of Roland and McCallsburg. There's a little bit closer view of the property. And as you can see, it's completely, you know, surrounded by ag land. And it's an old farmstead that was severed from the rest of the row cropped area. So there is, like I mentioned, an existing accessory structure. It's a little bit over 1,700 square feet. The required front setback in the A1 zoning district where this property is located is a minimum of 50 feet, and that is measured off the road right of way, as I kind of talked about in the staff report. That's how we have it set out in the code, that's not measured from the center of the road. It is the right of way. And the applicant is only requesting a variance of 6 feet. The accessory structure as it is 44 feet from the road right of way. And that's based on measurements that staff took on site. So we became aware of this because the property owner, Mr. Hocking, is trying to subdivide the property through one of our subdivision processes. And the surveyor noted on the plat, well, he didn't note it, but he drew the front setback line through the diagram of the accessory structure. So that's how we became aware of it. It was built without a permit, which would explain why it doesn't meet the front setback. So as I already mentioned, subject property, it's surrounded by agricultural uses. In total, the property is 2.21 net acres. And so the road right of way, as it is for most of the public roads in the county, all the gravel roads, is 66 feet wide, and 33 feet of that road right of way easement is on the applicant's property. Starts from the center of the road and then goes 33 feet to the east. As I mentioned, we do have to measure that front setback to the road right-of-way line, which is generally around, you know, the top of the road ditch. So all of the area surrounding the subject property is zoned A1 agricultural. As I kind of showed on that map, it is entirely, you know, a row cropped area. This is not a heavily populated area. There is no mapped floodplain on the subject property. I did look for variances. So this property is located in Township 85, Range 22. I did look for other variance requests in those sections. I didn't find any that we had received or presented to the Board of Adjustment as a comparison. So there are legal principles set out in Chapter 92 of the Land Development Regulations, which you all are a bit familiar with. All of these legal principles have to be satisfied. The board has to find that all of them are satisfied in order to grant a variance. The first one's a little bit different because it has three components in and of itself, but that's the finding of unnecessary hardship. So essentially, you know, if you don't grant the variance, then the land in question couldn't yield a reasonable return on investment. The plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances and not to, you know, general conditions in that area, or, you know, that reflect that the ordinance is unreasonable, and that the use authorized by the variance doesn't alter the character of the locality. So those are all kind of grouped under finding of an unnecessary hardship. And then letter B, granting the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. And finally, that the spirit and intent of the Story County comprehensive plan and the land development regulations are protected, even if the variance is granted. So those are the things that you'll have to consider with this request. So in the staff report, I did put the applicant's narrative as to, you know, how this occurred. And so, as is customary on the PowerPoint, staff just puts our responses to the legal principles, but of course the applicant will have time to speak after the presentation. So in terms of finding of unnecessary hardship and the land not being able to yield a reasonable return, as I mentioned, you know, this asks you to consider whether the property owner cannot establish any beneficial use on the property without the variance. Since 1908, the property has had a dwelling on it that is a principal permitted use for the A1 district, and we do consider that an established and beneficial use on the property. And so while additional structures, you know, adding onto a structure, adding more, that could increase the total property value, that's not what the board is asked to look at based on that 2021 Iowa Supreme Court precedent that I know that we've talked about with other cases, that basically, you know, you don't grant the variance just because it would increase the value of the property. That's not considered an unnecessary hardship. And so we have to take that precedent into account in our recommendation. So staff finds that this legal principle has not been met. The plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances and not to general conditions in the neighborhood or an unreasonableness of the ordinance. You know, this asks us to look at topography or other really limiting factors on the property that is really outside of the property owner's control. So this parcel doesn't contain any map floodplain. It does not have any steep slopes. It is relatively flat. So there's nothing really that would have prevented the accessory structure from being placed further to the east on the property. We did visit the site in January and didn't note any limitations on the property. The septic system, there has been a septic system installed to the east of the accessory structure. It's in the staff report. The laterals are 30 feet from the existing structure. They only have to have a setback of 20 feet to those laterals, so that allows 10 feet of wiggle room, basically, between the accessory structure and the laterals. So we did take a look at that as well. And then, you know, lastly, had a zoning permit been applied for, we would have caught that it didn't meet the setback and asked them to move it to the east. So we also find that this principle has not been met. And this is just a topographical view. These are 2-foot contours. So as you can see, it is a very flat property until you get all the way to the east and it starts to slope away a little bit. And this is marked here. Here's the building with this blue metal roof here. Also under finding of unnecessary hardship, the use to be authorized will not alter the essential character of the locality. You know, this is an authorized use for the A1 zoning district and accessory structure for personal storage. So we do find that this principle has been met. There's nothing about this that would alter the essential character. Granting the variance will not be contrary to the public's interest. So the reason that we have what we call bulk requirements for setbacks and height requirements and things like that, you know, is more for separation from roadways, you know, uniformity between different land uses and the zoning district, and to allow space for utilities and the right of way. So based on the 2023 Iowa DOT daily traffic counts for this section of 630th, there are just 10 vehicles that go down this section. So very, very low traffic count per day. So it's unlikely that a variance of 6 feet to the road right of way is really going to be detrimental to anybody, including motorists. So we do find that this principle has been met. The spirit and intent of the C2C and Story County land development regulations are protected. You know, this area is dual designated between rural residential and agricultural conservation, and that's because of the presence of the dwelling. And, you know, this particular request wouldn't change the rural character of the district in any way. And so we also find that this principle has been met. We did send the application and the site plan to the interagency review team. Environmental Health, their only comments were, again, on their required setback to the laterals. We have that information. No other departments had any comments on it. And then we did mail letters to surrounding property owners on February 10th, but we have not received any comments, phone calls, or anything like that. So staff's recommendation is based on the submittal, the characteristics of the property, the site review, to allow this front setback variance of 6 feet does not meet all the legal principles, though it does meet some, it does not meet all of them. And so therefore we recommend denial of the request. And then your alternatives to vote on would be to either approve it as submitted, approve it with conditions, deny the request, or table it and get more information from the applicant, and we can put it on a future agenda. So that is all that I have, and I'm happy to take questions, or we can open it up to the applicant.
Board, questions for staff?
Just to remind me, so the legal principles, you found one or two were not met. Was it the first two weren't met? Or
the first two for unnecessary hardship, the first two under that one were the ones that we found were not met.
The return and then the unique circumstances?
Right, yes. Okay. Yes, the other ones I believe all were.
I am just generally curious, what is the building made of? Is it a Morton style building? Is it?
I believe it's a Morton style pole building, but Mr. Hawking could speak more to that. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we'll ask the applicant then to speak, please, if you would. If you can just step up to the podium there, state your name and address.
Daryl Hawking. My address is 10124 630th Avenue, Radcliffe, Iowa, 50230. We are just inside the Story County line by a quarter mile or so. I apologize for not having the permit. That's my fault for not checking with the contractor when he built it. I built the building there because I lost a garage to the Derriso in 20. I had a spot there that would make it easier to get my motor home in and out of the property. And we're also in the process of putting another house on that property and subdividing into two separate parcels. Thank you.
And I'll ask if we have any questions for the applicant board.
So right now it's kind of like a storage building garage. What would you say the primary use of this building is?
Storage right now.
Okay.
Your building that got destroyed, did it sit in the same location or?
It's clear to the east of the property from the house.
So the building that was destroyed during the storm, did it sit in that same place?
No.
No.
So, did not.
Okay.
Could you bring up the aerial photo?
Yeah, that would help.
One of the things that we do in the summer is to remove the wood stuff. Part of the issue is where this sets is for the property that's split. My wife and I are moving on to the property on one half. I'm the son-in-law, and so my father-in-law are going to stay on the property, and so we've got a house for them over here. With splitting the property down the center line, it would go right through the garage. We wouldn't get a permit to rebuild the garage anyway because we cost the property. So with this structure here, it was out of the way. We always knew that, you know, there's a difference between property lines, but away from the road, we wonder where that the contractor, we actually thought he would have that information, and he basically built it where roughly we pointed out where. Those things we thought were covered, come to find out if it's not. If we ever do any other construction, believe me, we will be here asking for. But yeah, so unfortunately, where this is in the split of the property, we couldn't rebuild that structure in its place without creating other issues for the property.
And it looks like the way it faces, you couldn't just chop 6 feet off of it because that would, the rafters run that way.
Right. The doors, the two main doors open right here. So in order to chop 6 feet off, we have to completely restructure the rafters. And of course, it's a pole barn, so they're going more able to the ground. So that'd be the other problem, trying to get those poles out of the ground and re-drill inside that structure to put the posts in. We looked at ways to try and make it compliant. Not an easy way to restructure that building without major work.
Do you have any idea of the cost?
I have talked to the contractor, but no, we never got any further than just talking about it.
Okay.
The building itself was about $40,000. So if they got it completely tear it down and rebuild it, I'm going to guess it'd be roughly about $40,000 to rebuild it.
So the inside is unfinished. Gravel, cement, dirt, and gravel. Gravel.
Yep. Any other questions for the applicant?
Do we need the son-in-law's name and address?
Oh, that would be good, sir, if you could, just... as well as list your name and address there, and so we have it on the record.
Kenneth Frame, 10124 630th Avenue, Radcliffe.
Okay, thank you. Please go ahead.
Probably say is, as was mentioned, there's no other farmhouses around our area in our mile. The nearest farmhouse is to the, on that stretch of road is farther down this way, and they have buildings that are also about that distance, but I'm going to guess they were grandfathered because one was the original farmhouse to the acreage, and another one was another building, so that was yet another reason we didn't question stuff because of other structures.
In fact, that one house, mile south of us, he's right on the right-of-way line, but he's probably grandfathered in because it's been there as long as I've been in the area, so, and he's got a garage that might not, we don't know, but.
So that's, so some of our closest neighbors are kind of in that same predicament, but I'm guessing they were grandfathered because of the age of the structure. And the other thing we thought about too is where we're located. It's going to be a long time before Roland or McCallsburg or anything grows big enough to be industrialized.
Are there any other structures, garages on the property besides the house and that existing building we're talking about?
There's a corn crib that is still standing. It's got some meat damage. We plan on trying to fix that. And then, of course, the farm, the original farmhouse is still here. And then the log cabin that's been moving for the road.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Any other comments in the room? I don't know if we have anyone on the phone.
Nope, nobody on Zoom.
Okay. Well, we'll close the comment section, though we may have additional questions for y'all. Board thoughts.
So we're really working with the two legal principles, right? The return and the unique circumstances. And I'm just grasping for straws here. Andrea, on the reason, yield or return, is there anything around, there's no other garage on this property, so that would be a return that they wouldn't realize?
I'm just thinking through. So, I mean, yes, it would be customary to say, well, you know, most houses in the county have, you know, at least a two-car garage. But I guess from our perspective, it would still beg the question that, you know, is there space to put it so that it meets setbacks, is the thing.
Yeah, I'm in a similar, I'm uh-huh. I'd love to not tell you that you have to mess with your garage, but I'm struggling to figure out how to meet the principles. This court case has really tied our ability to do much in a lot of ways. I think I can understand the unnecessary hardship part. I think it's the second one, because that's a significant cost to me that you would need to pay.
Yes, but it's not really an unnecessary hardship because they caused the hardship by building it in the wrong spot.
Take that point too.
That's the tricky part.
It was a self-caused hardship.
I'm struggling with it, having read through it, just because of the lack of traffic, the lack of it has no effect on anything that I can come up with. Mm-hmm. So we're dealing with laws that apply because they're in the county, but there's so very little of that actually applies to the situation, and that's difficult.
Is there any zoning that doesn't require a 50-foot setback?
There are different zoning districts, like the R1 residential zoning districts that you see in subdivisions. They have lesser setbacks, 40
since
foot.
Since they're planning on doing a subdivision, would it be spot zoning to rezone it?
Yes. Yeah. And so let's see, AR, so R1 zoning that has a 40 foot setback, that has to be in, what's the word I'm looking for? Basically an urban expansion area of a city, an area that's going to be annexed. So they would, if they did a rezoning request, they would only be eligible to ask for AR, ag residential, and that still has, I believe, that 50 foot front setback. Let me just look that up really quick before I speak out of turn on that one. But I'm pretty sure it has a 50-foot.
The nearest town is right, and it's, I don't know how far away it would be from Radcliffe, miles-wise. Okay. So you're pretty far out from a town.
Yeah, the closest would probably be Garden City, but they're unincorporated.
Just for the recording, otherwise Leslie has a heck of a time doing minutes.
Okay, we're on. After learning about the violation, we got to looking at stuff. It looks like, and I may be wrong, but it looks like the state of Iowa, the default is like 30-35 foot. So it looks like Story County has an additional setback variance than what, or more restricted, or whatever you want to say, above the state, where the state is normally okay with 35, Story County has a 50. So I don't know if that's anything we can take into account for this given location and amount of traffic we don't have.
So it's also 50 feet is what you're showing.
Yep, mm-hmm. It's this one right here.
Or AR.
Sorry, for accessory structures. Yep, so it'd be 50 feet still. So it, yeah. With the things they could request to rezone to, it would still have the same required front setback. Yeah.
Was there a complaint about this, or you guys just drove around and happened to see it?
No. It was from the subdivision plat that was submitted, where the surveyor draws the structures, a little diagram, and the front setback line is going right through it. Yeah.
Can you go back to the wording about the hardship, those first three sub-bullets?
I think I went too far.
Oh, right
these,
there.
Okay.
Yep, my personal opinion is this is ridiculous in this case, but we don't have a choice legally but to deny it.
Yeah, I think number two is the one that I'm really, really stuck on. because they could have pushed it back if you knew it existed, unfortunately, which is really unfortunate.
Your contractor didn't want to come today and support you in this?
I might also point out that I am a disabled veteran, so funds are really restrictive. Thank you much.
Thank you. Well, Ward, what do we want to do?
He just told us the veteran thing and the disabled. The plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances. Again, we're kind of just talking out loud here.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it helps, but the I know it doesn't necessarily affect the variance, like you said, when it became noted, but we'd be the third generation on the acreage. And we are trying to establish a location for Lee and Daryl to also remain on the acreage because it's getting harder for them to take care of it. And we love the country. We love the acreage. Mm-hmm. So part of the whole concept of the split came about trying to get a dwelling that is decent enough for them to live in and then for us to also be there. And so as part of this, I'm in the process of trying to get a loan to buy the acreage from Lee and Daryl. And so this part of this process is also making it hard for that loan to finish too. It's been sitting for about 8-9 months now as we've been trying to work through all of this. And so we're at risk of possibly losing the loan to be able to move forward, which the whole process was to try and be able to keep the acreage in the family and keep Lee and Daryl on the acreage and also provide them some money to help supplement their income as they're in retirement. And Daryl's a disabled vet, and so is my mother-in-law. She's not a disabled vet, but she's also disabled. So we're trying to get stuff established so we can also be on the acreage to help take care of them as well as live and take care of the acreage. So
you mentioned when you were up previously that there is another, the nearest home, is that right? The nearest,
yep,
is right on the set. Like they are also encroaching in this space by more than you are. Is that correct?
It definitely looks like it because we have the ditch and then the tree line and then the shed. Their house is to us when you're driving down it, we didn't measure it, but it looks like it's actually encroached. But like I said, I don't know when the variance, or not the variance, sorry, when the setback was established. I'm sure this farmhouse probably was built before that, so it's probably grandfathered in. But, I guess along that stretch of road, the only other houses in that area also encroach on that.
Is there anything with that information that can be played with?
So with older homes, older farmsteads, they are considered legal nonconforming because we didn't have zoning until 1958. So if they predate 1958, there were no setbacks for them to have met.
But knowing that the setback is that compromised already.
If this were Fernald, for example, if you're familiar with Fernald, it was an unincorporated town, so it's denser, it's more built up. If this were a denser area where sort of the block, I'll just call it that for lack of a better word, was built up where everybody was encroached on the setback, then we would apply basically the natural setback is usually what happens in Fernald. But in this case, it doesn't have the same neighborhood characteristic where everything is built up on top of the front setback because there is some distance between the homes. If you as the board want to discuss that.
Well, would it be possible to say table this until we could determine what the homes in the area are, what the, how much they encroach, and if they indeed encroach.
If you want to ask, if you want to vote to have us table it and get, direct us to get specific information, we can do that. Yeah.
My only concern with that is that
it may not matter anyways what you're saying.
They have to wait another month.
Another month. Yep.
For us to then meet and discuss.
I don't know what kind of other future liability that opens up us up to.
Right.
The plight of the owners due to unique circumstances. The contractor, I'm pulling that thread a little bit. So this is a local contractor, I assume. Someone, say that again?
Hubbard.
Yeah, okay. The thread I'm pulling is there something around the contractor should have done this? And it says in a contract or documentation that they.
Yeah, I think that if the contractor was tasked with getting all permits and stuff, I think the cost should be for moving the building should be on the contractor, but that'd all be up to their personal contracts.
Yeah.
We have no jurisdiction over
and
that.
And I would certainly hope that the contractor has E&O insurance. It seems wasteful.
I know, because I get
wasteful.
It. We can deny it.
Yeah.
You have to move it, and you can bring work with a contractor, have a separate suit. But I'm not. I just can't bring my mind to the fact that all of that has to happen for 6 feet.
6 feet is really
that
nothing.
Doesn't really impact anything. So I'm struggling. Yeah.
The house to the south that he was talking about, just looking on Beacon, is 40 feet from the center of the road, so that'd make the setback.
Yeah, so if it's 40 feet from the center, that would make the setback, what,
seven feet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Significantly more encroachment than this, but.
I was in a court case the other day that the judge, all the legal things were in place for the judgment, and the judge dismissed it. So I'm not saying that we should. I know that puts, that's a whole different discussion, but I think there's a lot of waste involved. I don't think it's environmentally good. I don't think it's financially good. I don't see a benefit to moving it. I don't see a benefit. So it may not meet the legal requirements, but I'm failing to find a benefit for moving it 6 feet.
But as the Board of Adjustment, aren't we legally, isn't our job to be that legal?
As a quasi-judicial, I don't know what the leeway is there.
I think we have to follow the T of the law, and then if they wanted to go on to court to fight our decision, that's where that would come in. Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes. So after you're just, so if you don't vote to table it and actually make, either an approval or a denial vote today, they would have 30 days. I believe, Leanne, correct me if I'm wrong, from the date that we do the findings of fact, that those are recorded or signed. So 30 days from the date that the findings of fact are signed, so that'd be at your next meeting, they would have to appeal to district court.
I don't think any of us up here are arguing that this is
ridiculous.
Yeah, right. So the only things I have in my straws in my hand are reasonable return. Most houses have garages or parking spaces or those kinds of things. And then the plight of the owner is either the disabled veteran or the contractor should have been. Ideally, it would be documented in some way that says, I'm going to build a building and I'll pull the necessary permits, right? But I doubt you have that.
And I don't think there's any way we can do the yield of reasonable return because it could have been put in the right place. I think our hands are tied on what decision we are legally required to make. And I think it'd probably be better for their sake if they plan on appealing it to just move on with the denial and then they can continue on with that.
Can I ask a theoretical question?
Sure.
I'm getting moral on you here. if we cannot approve something of this nature, what is our purpose? To just hand stamp everything that comes across the table?
I mean, I can't answer that question. You could lobby the state legislature to, I don't know.
Before is not fun.
Change the.
Give us our power
5
back.
5 years from now.
Right. So, yeah, before the 2021 case, it was a little bit easier. I know you all have granted a variance in a different case, you know, before that. But it's difficult with the way it's written. So. So the appeal process would be with an actual court. It would not be with them. It would essentially. There are some cases where it's, you know, it would be where it could meet all the legal principles. So there are some.
Well, I think generally we're approving variances for things that haven't been built yet. That's the,
also,
that's
also
the tricky
true.
Part right there.
Yeah.
Is, yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately, if you guys wouldn't have done a subdivision, this would have never come to light. And yeah.
Based on my work experience, my professional experience, that I think it's generally fair to just default believe that they are going to do that. I don't even know that it would need to be written in a contract. I think that is an acceptable expectation.
I think Leanne wanted to say something.
Yes, I think we had closed public comments, but I unofficially reopened them. I guess I'm kind of with you, Nathan, in terms of I think I can get on number two, apply to the owner. This is a building to replace a storm damage structure. The responsibility of getting the permits. I guess it's ultimately on the landowner, but the contractor let you down there. But that number one, based on that definition that is set by the court, I don't know how to get over that.
I'm going to ask this question, but I'm going to assume, do we have to reopen public comments if I'm asking a question?
We'll reopen public comments.
Thank you, Leanne. So are you doing any kind of business work on the property at all with this building that would relate to a reasonable return? No. Okay, it's all personal use.
Okay. Yeah. I was really hoping the answer to my first question about the previous garage being in this location would have been yes. But
can the road be moved?
It wasn't.
I am a hobbyist worker, so I should say I build furniture out of this building, if that helps. But yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll close public comments again, and I guess we'll entertain motions if we're to that point.
Will you bring us back to the motion slide?
Mm-hmm. Do we need any kind of motion to close the public hearing, or is
findings?
I think Matt would just say that it's closed.
It's okay.
Again.
Now we need to do findings of fact, or we wait till the next meeting.
So you would, let's see.
Findings of fact, and then the
you would state what you findings of fact, where you disagree or agree with staff. Make those your findings of fact. Take a motion and a vote on those, and then take a motion on whether to approve or deny or table it.
I motion to approve the findings of fact as presented by staff.
And we need a second.
I'll second that.
Can we get a roll call vote?
Before we call for a vote, just for discussion's sake, are we saying that we have one of the issues that we thought we could work around, so we want one of them to say it was workable and one to say it's not workable by law?
That's not what the motion says right now.
Correct.
I'm seconding the motion that they are both not met.
The findings of fact, that the yes, finding of yes. fact, yeah.
On the hardship.
Well, we can take a vote on this first. So
yeah,
call for the roll call vote.
Go for it.
Jundal.
Yes.
Havik.
Yes.
Friend.
Yes.
Neubauer.
Yes.
Excel.
No.
All right, then I will make a motion to deny the Hawking setback variance request as requested by the applicant put forth in case V25-1 for a variance of 6 feet from the required front setback of 50 feet to allow the accessory structure to have a setback of 44 feet in the A1 district.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, can we get a vote?
Ovik. Friend.
Yes.
Neubauer.
Yes.
Jundal.
Yes.
Excel.
No.
Thank you.
Apologize on behalf of this situation because this is not ideal for anybody. But very, very little we can do to assist you.
Yep, you can appeal through district. That has to be through district court. So that'd be outside of this body. But you can. No, so the Board of Supervisors, they don't hear matters on bulk requirements. So Board of Adjustment is quasi-judicial, and then appealing their decision then actually goes to the court system. Mm-hmm. So we can talk more about that. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Other business.
Crystal, I'll bring this over to you in a minute. While Crystal's getting settled, I just wanted to introduce you to Crystal Davis. She is the county's new county outreach and special projects manager, who is tasked with managing our strategic plan that the Board of Supervisors adopted. So in January, she brought this presentation to Planning and Zoning Commission, and I asked her to share it with you today as well, so that you have an idea kind of where the county's priorities will lie over the next 3 to 5 years. So let me take this to her and then hand it off.
Thanks, Leanne. Good afternoon, Board. Thanks for having me here. I'm excited to bring a little information to you about the strategic plan. And I can say I'm kind of excited about this. I don't know if a lot of people say they're happy to be thrown a strategic plan on their plan of work, but we're going to do our best here at Story County to work on that. In case you don't know, we do have our strategic plan out on our website. So I just wanted to mention that it is on our website under plans and projects. And you can go to the Board of Supervisors page to get to plans and projects, strategic planning. And oops, I guess I thought I was going to move my own slide there. And this is just what it looks like. So we do have it out there for anyone who wants to take some time and enjoy some good reading. I like to say it's winter, so cold nights, you can pull this up and take a look at it as well. So it is a 5-year plan that came about in, it's going to go through the years, fiscal years of 2024 through 2029. It was adopted in October of 2023. And just a little history there, the Stewart County Board of Supervisors invited all the leadership to come together and to participate in developing a new plan. And they also brought in some outside consulting help through ARIG Consulting Incorporated and the UNI Institute for Decision Making to help guide us, and went through some surveys, identified our strengths and weaknesses, and spent some time just really working on what are the priorities for the county, as well as working on our mission and our core values. And so this is our mission statement, engaging our diverse communities to responsibly provide quality opportunities and services that matter. So this is the underlying statement and belief that we keep in the back of our minds every day as we move forward. And then we have our core values here that help guide us as well. And so it was through this process and our core values that we came up with six strategic focus areas. I'm not going to read all of them here because what I thought I would do is kind of just walk through and give an example in each area to kind of show you what the kind of things we're working on as a staff and kind of give you some updates. So the first focus area that we have is well-being and enjoyment of communities. And so I kind of picked a goal that I can talk about. It's going to have some action right away. So this is to identify quality of life needs and gaps and build partnerships to create innovative solutions. So one of the things we decided we needed to work on is a climate resiliency action plan and kind of work on some steps and how we would implement. So we did start with a partnership with Polk County and what are they doing. And that has led us through our Go Green team, which is a team that we have here made up of representatives from all of our offices and departments. And we have just recently put out a RFP for a consultant who is going to come help us develop a climate action plan for Story County as a government. And this Friday, we actually have our first kickoff meeting. We have hired through the RFP process EA Engineering, and they're out of their local offices out of Nebraska. They do have a representative that works from home out of Ames, so we do have a local connection. And we're very, very excited to kick off this process. It's part of our strategic plan, and we can say it's ongoing, and we're excited to see what we can do to help make things a little greener and better as we move forward there. Another focus area was quality of life infrastructure. And one of the things I wanted to talk about at one of our goals was talking about broadband, as you know, in our rural areas of the county, making sure that our residents and organizations and businesses have access to broadband. It's a long, ongoing process, sometimes a little painful, but we're pleased to say it has been moving forward, and we're getting so close to having most of the county serviced with fiber and broadband. And one of our goals was to research and pursue new funding. How can we get things implemented? Unfortunately, we just recently applied for a grant. We were not on the receiving end of that grant, but something came out of that. It was a grant that we were working with our local libraries to try and get through the county a system where we could have hotspots and tablets through a checkout system through the libraries. So we didn't get the big dollars, but the group, all of our libraries in the county working together, went after a smaller grant and through the Story County Community Foundation, and they were awarded that recently. So on a smaller scale, we can say the local libraries coming together for collaboration, and we'll be working on a checkout system for the tablets and for the hotspots. So very exciting.
First of all, I'm just curious, what percent, we're looking for 100%?
We're looking for 100%.
What percent are we at?
I don't know that. I'm sorry. I can find that out for you.
No, that's
and I,
okay.
But I do know we are really getting close. We've met with all of our telecoms recently, and we have our board of supervisor, Supervisor Merkin is kind of our lead on our broadband. So she meets with them also, and they're getting close. I know some of them still have trouble like getting permission from landowners to put it in at this time. So we have to work around that, but we've just got a few spots left. A lot of it's like northwest part of the county still we're working on. So If you really wanted, I can get it to Leanne to give to you. So yeah, so we'll work on that for you, but a good question. The next one we're working on is, this is a little bit more internal, but it then helps benefit the citizens and residents of our county, is working on the recruitment, development, and retention of our team members that work here. So we have a goal to always work on continuous training and professional development. And we do that, you know, I joke that, you know, that saying, happy wife, happy life, that some people joke about. Well, I like to think happy staff, happy life here at Story County, which then means happy work that's coming out to our citizens and residents. So it's great that we have a great program where we provide training internally and bring in our own speakers and have our own training, as well as the opportunity to go out for professional development. So that's always something that we strongly believe in here and is ongoing. Communication, awareness, and education of our services and programs. And this goal was to really work on some strategies of what we can offer through the county offices, departments, and increase feedback on usefulness and effectiveness of county services. So one of our sub goals was to implement a leadership training program for boards and commissions. And good news, we do have, we're working with Iowa State University Extension and Outreach, and we are working on a pilot program with them, with us in another county, where we would be inviting our boards and commission members to attend training to learn more about how to be a leader through your board and commission work. You know, how, you know, prime example of what you did here tonight, how to best ask questions, how do you do Robert's Rules of Order, what do you do, make tough decisions on the fly. So we're excited that we'll have more news on that here shortly. It's been in the works, and we'll be able to offer something back out. Technology, working on that, develop a plan to address internal technology improvements. Good news here, we just migrated to 365 online in the cloud. That's a big deal for us. But it also, again, helps staff work more efficiently. And then we're also working on how we do internally our software for payroll and HR. So more improvements there, as well as we work internally to make those processes better. Our last focus area was how the funding of Story County operations and programs, how we can improve there, and working on countywide economic development areas. And so I just wanted to mention, we are continuing to always work on the implementation of our housing action plan. And there's a committee that we have with some staff members, as well as some external members through like MIPA and the Story County Housing Trust. And a good thing that we can say there is we've recently, through our Board of Supervisors, we're funding a pilot program for in our rural unincorporated areas of Story County, where we have manufactured housing parks. We will be offering a pilot program for weatherization improvements, where owners of their homes there could apply to get some money to help with things like new skirting, windows, doors, that kind of thing, to improve not only the look and structure, but also for heat and efficiency in times of weather. So another area that we're pleased to say we're already working on in for our strategic plan. Where are we now? This started in 2023. We kind of had a little bit of a slowdown, mostly due to a vacancy in staffing. And so we are back at it, and excited to say that we're working on it. We've just asked all the departments and offices for their top five of our big list of what our goals are. And so we'll be working to align those top five across all the offices and departments with the help of the Board of Supervisors to kind of figure out how do we go after them, tackle them. As you know, you're all busy doing your own work, and then you get asked to do some more work with the strategic plan. So we'll be working to just keep making improvements, doing the work, and putting in place some tracking and monitoring tools so we know what's going on, where are we at, what do we need to work on, what was the failure, what's a success, and that sort of thing. So why should you care? Ultimately, it really shows that we are dedicated to our citizens and residents in Story County. And it's really a good foundation for how we're working together across departments and offices. And it's important to us that we can be consistent and then show our progress and have it be measured so we can always be reporting back. This is what we're doing for the good of you. So onward and upward. Yeah, thank you.
Any questions?
No questions, but it sounds like a good plan. I'm excited for some of those programs.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of exciting. So
thank you. Any staff comments?
I think Leanne has some.
Some.
Welcome.
I'm going to start with the easy and work to the hard. There are a lot of things happening in the State House that could have ramifications for local government, especially county governments. One does deal with variances. I will share that legislation with you. It's, I think, a study bill right now. So it hasn't really gained a lot of momentum. A lot of it is basically codifying that Supreme Court decision, so it's not really giving you additional wiggle room, but we're going to watch that. Watch it very carefully, in fact. Some other ones that we may need to make some changes to our regulations to accommodate some loss of local control. But again, every Friday we get updates from different entities. So I'll start adding you guys and sharing that so you can see what's happening. In your next meeting, we will not be using Zoom from this time forward. This is your last Zoom meeting. We're switching to Teams. As Crystal said, we're now a 365 county, so it'll be a little new look, especially for us as staff. But your next meeting, I think all we have at this time will be the findings of fact from tonight. And then as staff, we are asking that you move the June 18th meeting to June 25th. For the county, the 19th is a holiday. And so it's just logistics, it'll be a lot easier just to wait a week. So we'll have that on your calendar as well, or on your agenda as well, next meeting. So if we only have those two items, I would suggest maybe we do a fully Teams meeting to test it, since we won't have public interaction. I'll be in this room. Leslie will probably be in this room, but you don't have to come here. Nathan will be here. But help us test it too, because I think there might be some kinks as we learn this.
At one point, this has changed. At one point, you could only have so many members that were remote.
You can all be remote now.
Okay.
That changed in July of 24.
Okay.
And I thought I had sent that out, but I will send that out again.
I'm sure you did.
I don't. I know I did Planning and Zoning Commission.
You did.
So that your agenda, as far as we know right now, is relatively light next month, but still we have the deadline coming up next week, following week. And then the last thing is, this is your last opportunity to celebrate Andrea giving you a staff report. She is moving on and leaving Story County for greener pastures, warmer location maybe. maybe 4 degrees warmer. But I do on behalf of county staff, thank you. This is the last time you'll see her in this capacity.
You will be missed.
Thank you.
So they have a posting for her position. So if anybody wants to apply for that.
It's live.
Huh. I saw that last night and wondered who we were losing.
Who we're losing and, yeah,
the drama.
What we're losing. Any questions for me?
I think we're good.
Okay, thank you.
Motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All those are in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. We are adjourned.